The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com. The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with the deadlock broken in the House over billions of dollars in foreign aid. After a six-month impasse, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle voted to advance $95 billion in assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. House Speaker Mike Johnson worked with Democrats and overcame an ouster threat from conservatives in his own party to secure the 311 to 112 vote. House Foreign Affairs Chairman Michael McCaul says he thinks the Speaker's job is safe.
I am so proud of the Speaker Mike Johnson. He went through a transformation. At the end of the day, a profile in courage is putting the nation above yourself. And that's what he did.
Foreign Affairs Chair Michael McCaul spoke on ABC's This Week, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky went on NBC's Meet the Press to express his gratitude.
This aid will strengthen Ukraine and send the Kremlin a powerful signal that it will not be the second Afghanistan. The United States will stay with Ukraine.
President Zelensky spoke through an interpreter. Now the Senate plans to hold its first votes on the measure tomorrow. Senate Intelligence Chairman Mark Warner says from there the aid should get out relatively quickly.
Once the president signs, we've been told that it is the president's signature, making sure Congress does its job, that these materials will be in transit by the end of the week.
Senator Warner was a guest on CBS's Face the Nation, which airs Sundays on Bloomberg Radio, along with Meet the Press and ABC's This Week.
Well, Nathan, tied to that aid package, the House also passed a measure requiring TikTok's owner ByteDance to sell its stake in the social media firm. If the Chinese company refuses to divest, the platform may be banned in the United States. Sources have told Bloomberg that ByteDance intends to fight the effort in court before it considers any kind of sale. Meanwhile, the TikTok executive, who was tasked with easing U.S. lawmakers' concerns, is reportedly leaving his position. We get more with Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The report says that TikTok is letting him go, saying he wasn't doing enough to stave off U.S. security concerns regarding its ties with owner ByteDance in China. Eric Anderson's role had been incrementally reduced, but with the passage of the divest bill passed by the House over the weekend, it looks now more imminent. A TikTok statement said the reports were false, but then the publication, The Information, said Anderson has informed his legal team that he is leaving and that it is his decision. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Now to the latest on the hush money criminal trial of Donald Trump. Opening statements are scheduled to begin today in Manhattan. Bloomberg Law host June Grosso has the latest from New York.
Donald Trump lost his last-ditch effort on Friday to convince an appellate court to stop the trial and change its location. That clears the way for the prosecution and defense to give their opening statements today, outlining their cases for the jury of five women and seven men. The trial is moving faster than expected, with jury selection completed a week earlier than the judge anticipated. In New York, June Grosso, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, June, thanks. Well, turning to Wall Street, it's a very busy week ahead for earnings, with high-profile big tech names in focus, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
We'll be hearing from the likes of Alphabet, Meta Platforms, Tesla, and Microsoft as bulls look to earnings as a catalyst to get this year's rally back on track. Victoria Fernandez is Chief Market Strategist at Crossmark Global Investments.
Banks were okay. The market didn't have big moves on that. And obviously, we haven't hit a lot of those growth companies yet that tend to move the market a little bit more.
Also up this week, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Caterpillar, Ford, GM, and GE. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Turning to the bond market now, Treasuries are on track for their worst month this year. Now, a hefty slate of auctions could be a major test of whether yields have peaked after reaching their highest levels of 2024. The market has to absorb a combined $183 billion calendar of 2-, 5-, and 7-year note sales, the first two of which will be at record levels. At the end of the week, investors get a crucial inflation reading with the PCE deflator.
Well, Nathan and Company News, Tesla spent the weekend cutting prices of its models across China, Europe, and the U.S., and we get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The discounts follow disappointing first quarter sales and bloated inventory. The prices of Tesla's best-selling Model Y, as well as the Model S and X, were cut by $2,000. The company also slashed the price of its driver assistance software by more than 30%. And on top of that, CEO Elon Musk postponed a planned trip to India this week. He had been expected to meet with Prime Minister Modi and announce an investment. On Tuesday, Tesla will issue first quarter results. It's expected to report a 40% plunge in operating profit, first revenue decline in 4 years. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Doug. In deal news, Bloomberg News has learned talks for Salesforce to take over Informatica have cooled, with both parties struggling to agree to terms. The deal would have ranked among the largest ever by Salesforce. Representatives for Salesforce and Informatica both declined to comment. Shares of Informatica are down more than 6% in early trading.
Nathan, private equity firm Blackstone has made a new proposal worth about $1.5 billion to purchase Hipgnosis Songs Fund. That tops a bid made last week by music rights investor Concord.
And for those of you with time and a lot of money on hand, this story is for you. A rare Rolex with a split-second chronograph sold for $3.5 million at auction in Monaco. That is a record price for the Rolex 4113, produced in 1942. It is one of just 12 ever made and 9 known to exist. The watch has a case diameter of 1.73 inches. That makes it one of the largest watches Rolex ever made.
And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. There's a call for greater security as Passover begins at sundown today. As tensions over the Israel-Hamas war loom, authorities across the country are showing concern. A rabbi associated with Columbia University is urging Jewish students to go home, saying the university's public safety and the New York Police Department cannot guarantee Jewish students safety. Over the weekend, students with sleeping bags refused to leave the grounds of Columbia University. The pro-Palestinian demonstrators called for the Ivy League institution to divest its stocks, funds, and endowments from companies that they say profit from Israel's violations of international law and Palestinian human rights, among them this student of Syrian descent.
Seeing the parallels, witnessing the level of violence that Palestinians in Gaza, Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians all across Palestine are being subjected to, but especially the genocide in Gaza.
Some counter-protests also popped up calling for the terror network holding Israeli hostages inside Gaza to release them. Reva Feinstein is a retired administrator for Columbia.
The whole thing breaks my heart, and especially I think the worst, horrible, most horrible thing is what's going on with these hostages, that it's 198 days today.
Some arrests were made over the weekend when protesters on campus refused to leave and tussled with the NYPD. A military base in Syria belonging to a U.S.-led coalition came under rocket fire late on Sunday. That's according to a statement from the government-affiliated Iraqi security media cell. It said at least one rocket landed at the base, its first reported attack on the U.S. base in the Middle East since February. A person has been taken into custody after allegedly breaking into the home of Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. Police say it happened early Sunday morning. Police say the unidentified suspect smashed one of the home's windows to gain entry before being taken into custody without further incident. LAPD Lieutenant James Mayonakis.
It's the mayor of the city, and we're concerned any resident that has somebody just come into their home. So we treat this very seriously.
The mayor's office says she was at home and was uninjured. Global News 24 hours a day and whenever you want it with the Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. After the winningest regular season in club history, obviously high hopes for the Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game one at the Garden, Rangers and Capitals, scoreless first period, then the first Ranger goal of the postseason came from an unlikely player.
Rempe carries the puck over the red line with Goodrow on left wing. Rink-wide pass collected by VC off the wall. Feeds it behind the net. Goodrow and tight, they score! A pass to Rempe on the doorstep, and he bangs it home!
On ESPN New York, rookie Matt Rempe, known more for his fighting skills than his goal scoring. 33 seconds later, Artemi Panarin scored. Minute and a half after that, Jimmy VC. Rangers beat Washington 4-1, game two tomorrow. Home teams all won. Florida, Vancouver, and Winnipeg, a wild one with Colorado. The Jets won 7-6. Six goals scored in both the first and third periods. Home cooking also in the NBA. Celtics by 20 over Miami. Jason Tatum a triple-double. Clippers played without the injured Kawhi Leonard, still beat Dallas easily. Milwaukee was without Giannis Antetokounmpo, still beat Indiana easily. Damian Lillard scored 35 for the Bucks, all of them in the first half. Close one last night, Oklahoma City by 2 over New Orleans. Knicks and Sixers game 2 tonight at MSG. The Mets' six-game win streak came to a crashing halt. Dodgers won 10-0, a home run for Shohei Ohtani. That gave them the record for most by a Japanese player, surpassing the ex-Yankee Hideki Matsui. Yankees top Tampa Bay 5-4. Day game today at the stadium with Oakland. The only thing that can stop Scottie Scheffler, the rain at Hilton Head. He'll be back early this morning to seemingly finish up another win. Leads by 5 with 3 holes to play. It'll be Scheffler's 4th win in his last 5. And on the LPGA Tour, Nelly Korda has won each of her last 5 tournaments. The only others to do that, Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Months of deadlock on aid to Ukraine and Israel are finally broken on Capitol Hill. The $95 billion package is headed to the Senate now for the first votes expected tomorrow after a bipartisan series of votes in the House that had Speaker Mike Johnson facing off with hardliners in his own party. For more, we are joined by Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, good morning. Does the passage of this aid blunt geopolitical risk for this market?
Good morning, Nathan. I think the Ukraine House package is a geopolitical risk positive, but I think it's very much outweighed by what's going on in the Middle East right now. The markets, I think, are taking comfort in the word de-escalation, but when you've had very serious escalation before people decide they're not going to shoot everything they've got at each other, that's net-net serious escalation, not de-escalation. You know, if you have the stock goes up by 10 points and then it goes down one, you know, like net-net, it's not going down. You got plus 9, and that's kind of where we are today.
And now that this package is heading to the Senate, I wonder what that risk of further escalation in the Middle East means for the prospects for this package there. I've got to think that there would be a number of progressive senators who are concerned about the way this war has been going in Gaza that might have a little bit of pause when it comes to providing further aid. Is there that risk there?
Sure. Yeah, I think in the end, this aid package passes, by the way. Let's start there. But, yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of things that could slow this down, and concerns about Gaza is right up there at the top. Another potential one is the TikTok issue. Not so much because there's any the lack of concern about TikTok, but there is a difference of opinion. There has been a difference of opinion in the Senate with the House on exactly how you ought to deal with with the TikTok issue. So there's a potential that that falls out or changes as well. And if that happens and the Senate ultimately passes a bill that isn't identical to the House, then it has to go back to the House for another vote. So this might get delayed by a week or so.
The TikTok aspect of this is pretty interesting because it's been altered to give ByteDance up to a year to finish the divestment, which puts it past the November election, and any concerns that a lot of lawmakers might have about whether this app could have an impact on the November election.
Yeah, it's on that level, I think it's a little strange. Yeah. And at the same time, I think it is the impulse here was primarily fairness, the idea that that an immediate divestiture would be unfair to the asset and look like some sort of a fire sale and, frankly, bring up another series of legal issues. So what they decided to do was give it some time to find an appropriate buyer.
In terms of how this got done, Terry, House Speaker Johnson had to look past an ouster threat to work with Democrats to get it done. Is Speaker Johnson's job in danger this morning?
Yeah, certainly there's a threat to it. I do think that it's less likely that he ends up getting ousted, though. You know, if I had to put my quarter somewhere, I'd put it on Johnson staying. You know, the vast majority of Republicans want him to stay, and I think that continues. I don't take lightly the idea that this small band of supposed House purists might seek to try to take him down. But I think there's such disapproval from the body of Republicans overall that I think it's unlikely to happen. What these folks seem to be hanging their hat on is the idea that if there's any, you know, there are any more than the three that are currently now there, well, then Johnson's going to see the light. He's going to, he's going to have to resign just to be honorable or something. Well, you know, Johnson's already showed you what he's interested in being honorable on, which is, among other things, American leadership and globally and American foreign policy. He professes not to be concerned about that, and I think I'll take him at his word on it.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.